that there's government and God has placed a pastor in place there, you know, to hear from the Holy Spirit, to hear from what God is, how God is leading him, that sort of thing and stuff. And so when people know how to have their get their marching orders and to follow, then, you know, you can get a whole lot more stuff done. So they're consumed with zeal for building the church. In Nehemiah, we see that the zeal of God's people allowed them to rise above every turmoil and limitation to build walls, the walls in Jerusalem. Their prevailing mindset positioned them to thrive in the midst of chaos. So that in Nehemiah 4, verse 1, let's look at it. So our breakthrough believers, our job is to build, not tear down, but build. Apostle talked about the office of the prophet and the apostle. You know, there has to be, sometimes there has to be some tearing down, there's some things that can be out of place and that sort of thing and stuff before it can really go up, can really be built. So it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat had heard we built the walls, he was wroth. He upset now. And great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Now he criticized them and all this. Watch this. Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubble, the rubbish which are burned? See, that's one thing. When God called you to a ministry, and your job is to help to do the work of the ministry, right? All right. So you have to be careful. There's gonna always be people outside. This is one of the hardest things to get people to understand. You cannot listen to all the voices on the outside of what you've been called to. Because when you do that, when you begin to start listening to all these voices, it's going to cause you not to pursue in what God has called you to do. I don't need somebody that's not a part of the work of God to tell me what I ought to be doing and what I shouldn't be doing. You with me? And then you have some people that's over in other camps and they don't understand the apostolic. So they want to know, well, why y'all doing this or why y'all doing that? And most times folks sit down and entertain that all of a sudden the zeal that they had for the house of God, all of a sudden that zeal has left them. Y'all with me? Yes, all right. So it goes on now. Tobiah and the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up. See, they're making fun of him. If a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. I mean, near my praying, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out for before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So they were building. So now a quick look at Nehemiah reveals that they protected the work from the effects of money and religious politics. See, sometimes some folk don't want to go with you, and so they won't support the work. You with me? Or they won't support it. So one of the things, just like Apostle was saying tonight, you know, there's been people who said to me, you know, I believe the Lord is leading me to follow Apostle. And I want to know, first thing I want to know is, what's your agenda? Because if you got the wrong agenda, it's not gonna roll. I don't care how much money you put up, that ain't gonna move him. You understand what I'm saying? Now, people from the outside, they look at I want to ask y'all this question. Because I thought about this. God could have had us follow anybody, but God had us follow a man that's really after his heart. Watch this. And a man who he's made a millionaire. So that means that God has some people that's going to be following, that's going to have the heart of God, that's going to be after the heart of God, where God can release to them. Because see, once you get the heart of God, God, anything that God has in his hand, you'll be able to receive it. You with me? So God has put us in a place where we're following somebody. Because see, really, in order to do the work of God, we got to have finances, y'all. Come on, talk to me. We got to have some money. We got to have some money. You know, we're going to build a church. I'm not going to a bank. You understand what I'm saying? And so, how many of you know God got to have people? I want to be in a position when apostles say we're going to do such and such. Well, we don't have to take up an offer for this. I got it. You with me? And so I believe that when we have that kind of heart and we about, you know, Matthew 6:33, which talks about the kingdom of God, you know, all these things going to be added. We seek him first. We can't seek the kingdom without seeking the king. Yes, you understand? And so when we focus on seeking the king, the thing is going to be added to us. Yes, ain't no doubt about it. No doubt. No doubt about it. So let me go a little further here. All right. So they protected the work. It says they didn't allow the wealthy men of Samaria, the half Jews, to gain control over their destiny. Their intimidation and fear mongering could not destroy the zeal of God's people. Nehemiah and the builders had a mind to work, according to 4 in verse 6. It says, so build he the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, and the people had a mind to work. If the people don't have a mind to work, how many of you know the thing can't get done? So they built the wall. So the enemies of Jerusalem planned to stop the work, but the prophetic anointing exposed the schemes of the enemy to these builders. See, God always going to have somebody who he's going to reveal to him what the enemy is trying to do to undermine the work. Now, the attitude of not yielding to the schemes of the enemy became a barricade and a strong fortress against the wicked men who tried to exploit the fears of God's people. There in verse 11 of Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, it says, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. The enemy always after stopping the work. Y'all with me? And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwell by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all the places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore said I in the lower places, behind the wall and on the high places, I even set the people after their families with their swords. Look, he got them prepared. The people working and the people got swords, their spears and their bows. And I looked and I rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we return all of us to the wall, every one of unto his work. So even though they were plotting, God had exposed the plot. Yes, sir. So now Nehemiah, he stationed each one of the men in an accurate place and positioned them so that each one could effectively work. He taught them how to be very effective as builders and as well as soldiers. In one hand, they was doing the work, and the other hand, they was holding a weapon. And then in verse 17, it says, those who were rebuilding the walls and those who carried the burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other hand holding the weapons. So breakthrough believers must be trained to become multi-pronged so that they will be effective with both the left and the right hand. Now, today, you know, we wouldn't be using weapons. Our weapon would be prayer. We'd be doing the work and we'd be praying. And see, that's the thing. I remember when we were doing some work here around the church. We were doing some concrete work around the church. Think of the driveway where you come in, and we was expanding it. And so I saw some people who, you know, I used to pull concrete with years ago, and they said to me, they said, man, you got out of concrete. I said, no, I didn't, hadn't got out of concrete. I just don't do it for a living. And so I was telling them, you know, I was pouring concrete, and while I was pouring, say, well, I mean, if you volunteering pouring concrete, you can come on out here and make some money. I don't do it for a living. I said, I do it for a giving now. And so they had a little few things to say. And so the conversation didn't last long, because I'm not going to let you talk. I'm not going to let you talk me out of what I'm called to do. You understand what I'm saying? And so I don't know, but I get so irritated when I see people who are so flaky, who somebody can talk to them and talk them out of what God told them to do. Apostle said tonight, some people who don't really know him, they walk off after some, you know, a little wind blow, and all of a sudden they walk off. That means that you didn't know the person you were following. Because whenever times get tough, that's the time when you stand around the leader. You don't go break camp because, you know, something got a little shaky or something happened. You understand what I'm saying? And it just do something to me when I see folk just can walk away. All right, let me show you something. All right. The Bible says, as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Sons of God. All right. Okay. Now, in that word sons, there's two words in the Greek that really, one of them talks about a baby. When a baby's born, how a baby, because he's been birthed in that family, he's a part of that family by birthright. You with me? All right. But you can go into a nursery and just have a baby. You go in a nursery, if they don't have the tags and those names on there, you're not going to be able to tell which one of those babies belong to their family. Right. All right? So it's the same way. The Bible talks about as men as led by the Spirit of God, they're sons of God, but there's those that are immature. But then there are those who are mature. So that other Greek word, it means, it's talking about like a child, once he grows up and begin to look like the father, or he begins to have the character of the father. You with me? So you got one, as many are led by the Spirit of God, or the sons of God. Many folk, they are, although they are the sons of God, they are the children of God, some of them are immature, or they are babes. You with me? So they can be led by somebody else, but somebody who really matured, somebody who has grown up, you can identify that person is mature, and that person has the character of that person who they represent in that family. So now, then they are matured. So now, I don't care what go on, they're not going to be shaken. So you got two sets of people in the church. You got immature people and you got the mature folk. So the mature people never going to move because something go on in the church. Or somebody been corrected. Or somebody has been rebuked. You with me? The purpose for the rebuke and for the correction is for us to grow. So I can't, the Bible say that God has set something in the church as it pleased him, right? So if God set them in the church as it pleased him, you can't leave when you get displeased. And so many people leave from the place, the very place where God has called them to, because they let people on the outside say things. And let me tell you something. I've said this to you before. I live by it. Words that's spoken to you are seeds. Yes, and if you allow, if you sit around and you just laugh with somebody and they saying something about the person you're following, seeds been sown that all it needs is the right condition before they begin to germinate and start growing. All of a sudden, you're going to start looking at the person sideways. I promise you. I promise you this. Some church folk act like they can't understand it, but I see it happen all the time. Once your heart get turned towards your leader, you out. All of a sudden, you used to sit on the front row, you're going to start moving further and further back. Some don't move further and further back. Some leave off the front row. And it's because, my point I'm making is that Nehemiah, the people that was with him, they didn't allow the people that's on the outside to stop them from doing the work. And so when we are trained apostolically, we have to come to a place where we don't let people on the outside stop us. See, because first of all, when we were down here pouring concrete, I'm down here, I'm volunteering. Let me throw this here out at you. I came to church, it was one Wednesday, and I came to church, had Bible study, and so I got in the pulpit. I had on my work clothes. I didn't have time to go home and change. I had on work clothes. I said, y'all, I'm sorry. I said, I've been working. And the Spirit of God arrested me while I was saying that. He said, no, you're not. You know, you haven't been working. You've been serving. I said, okay, yes, sir. He said, he says the difference between serving and working. He said, for work, you get paid. For serving, you get rewarded. The money that you get paid, it may not last no time, but the rewards, they keep on giving. See, because watch this. All right. You can get paid, but all right, if I'm rewarded, the rewards could be my children are healed. My family don't go through no sickness and disease. Come on, talk to me, y'all. See, it's a difference in reward. And some people want it here. They want to get paid. But the thing about it is, you can get paid. But the thing about it is, when that's gone, then guess what? You're gonna be looking for another job so you can get some more. But the reward keep on giving. Keep on. I'm talking about God just keep on pouring it out on you. So when I got that revelation, I said, Lord, you know, a whole lot of folks missing out on what you really want to do for them. And then, watch this, y'all. A gift. God give you a gift. And I believe, I know I have a gift. Pouring concrete is a gift to me. It's a gift, you know. It was learned, but I really don't want to brag on myself, but I believe I'm the greatest. You understand what I'm saying? But a gift, God gave it to you so that you can be a blessing. Not that you can use it as, you know, you can be a hireling with it. Okay, all right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whole lot of times, man, people, man, it's so, oh, Lord, how much the peace. You can't buy peace. You can't, I mean, God will call you to come into a rest. Man, there's no way in the world you can pay for that. And all that a part of rewards of serving and that kind of thing and stuff. You know what I'm saying? All right. Nehemiah was a strategist. As the work became extensive, he devised a way to keep the work guarded and caused the people to rally him. In Nehemiah 4:19-20 says, I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. He just know if all we got to do is do what God say do, God going to do the rest. Do what God told us to do. So the prophetic voice must cause every believer in the church to rally together behind the arrowhead leadership so that everyone is working toward the common purpose and destiny God has assigned for us. See, when apostle say that this is the assignment that we're going to do. Now, I have a responsibility, to shepherd, people. Watch this. I'm gonna show y'all something. A lot of times, people think that, when you're doing a work for God, it take you away from some things and whatever and stuff. But I found this out that, even with your family, if you rally your family in to take part in the work, you're going to be spending time, and then you're teaching them that this is what's important. And then guess what? God's going to reward the whole family. Everybody getting blessed. You understand what I'm saying? So this mentality towards God's work will prepare breakthrough believers to occupy till he comes. Now, the area of war, the flow of winning mentality, the area of war. Breakthrough believers possess a mentality for war. They have a fighting spirit and are often spoiling for adventure. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. If we do not fight our battles, how many know we can't wear a crown? So a lot of church believers are carried in the arms of others. Apostle said tonight, a lot of times, what the apostolic does is teach people how to fight for themselves. Some people got to always be carried by somebody else. Soon as something going on in their life, they got to call 5 or 6 church members to pray with them. I just need prayer. And a lot of times what they do is when they get in trouble. Now, I heard apostles say this. There's only one channel. There's only one source, but there's many channels. All right? So, all right. Let's say that church member, got in trouble. I had a lady come to me one time, and she said, Pastor, she said, I'm about to lose my house, and the Lord told me to come to you for you to help me. I said, well, that's strange because he ain't said nothing to me. He ain't said a word to me. See, watch this. We can become so, we want folk to like us. We don't want nobody to leave out saying nothing bad about us or nothing like that. So, tell you what I did. I said to the congregation, I said, we have somebody here that has a need, and so we want to pick up a special offering. And the money that she needed, we gave it to her. She left the church. Guess what she said? She left the church because the Lord told me for you to give it, not for the people. That's exactly right. She left the church. So now watch this. See, first of all, there's nothing but one source, and that source has to be God. When we as pastors and leaders, we start making people depend on us, then we become their God. But when we teach them how to walk by faith and follow God, then they begin to lean toward their source. All right? But watch this. There's one source, but there's many channels. All right? So God got all kinds of channels that he can use to be a blessing to you. But watch this. A channel is somebody who God speaks to be a blessing to you. Now, you can't go... If you go to a channel to ask them to do something for you, then that channel has become your source. Right. And they're no longer a channel because you're dependent on them. But when you're dependent on God as your source, he can open up any channel. God can use anybody to be a blessing to you, and you don't have to go and broadcast what you're going through. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Praise the Lord. That was free. All right. So God wants to train our hands for war, to be able to slay our enemies so that we'll know what it means to be a victor and an overcomer rather than a victim. Breakthrough believer's mentality is poised to fight his own battles. He's ready to challenge and pursue his enemies until he overtakes them and recovers all that has been stolen from him. In 1 Samuel 30:8, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them?" And he said unto him, "Pursue. I believe. There are some fights that I believe we take on, and we really ought to be fighting them." And what I mean by that is, he asked God. Look what he said. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them?" And the Lord said, see, always going to God, find out with the instructions. Because you can be fighting, battles that you don't even need to be fighting. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It ain't worth fighting. He said, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and will surely rescue all. Every breakthrough believer must be taught to become a champion by rising in the power of the Holy Spirit and overcome every sin and personal inadequacy and limitation. The mentality and attitude not to be intimidated is very essential in becoming a champion. The enemy will often try to demoralize us so that we will give up on the challenge. Now, intimidation. Intimidation is the act of continual harassment until a person's wall of resistance is broken down and he starts to belittle and despise what he is and what he has. Remember in Numbers 13, where it talks about how after the children of Israel, after they went spied out the land and that sort of thing, and there was some came back with an evil report, some came back with a good report. It was 2 came back with a good report, 10 came back with an evil report. But one of the things that they said was, they said that we're not able to go against, I think it was 13:33, say we're not able to go up against them, for they're stronger than we. And then they said that, and then we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So now, how in the world did they know that the people were stronger? They didn't have arm wrestling. They didn't have no kind of way of finding out that the people were stronger than them. How do you know the people are stronger? Well, when you understand who you are in Christ and who you are, you know that you can have the upper hand no matter what. Praise the Lord. And the thing about it is, like Apostle just finished saying, we have challenges, but we always win. I say we have challenges, but we always win. And so so we can't allow the enemy to intimidate us in any kind of way. So we can't begin to see ourselves as grasshoppers, but we have to see ourselves as giants. Praise God. So there are 6 aspects of intimidation we will discover in Nehemiah 4:2. Which often push the believer to quit or abort this pursuit of total victory. Nehemiah 4:2, it said, he spake in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble and the burnt ones? So intimidation, first of all, will attack your character. The first area of intimidation, it said that what are these feeble Jews doing? Now, Nehemiah, he was not feeble, but he was noble. All right. The first thing people start doing is trying to attack your character. You with me? And if you don't know who you are, then guess what? they'll make you think that you are who they say you are. But when you know who you are, then folk can't attack your character. They can say what they want to say, but it's just like water off a duck's back. And one of the things that you have to make sure, whenever folk are coming against you, you got to make sure that you don't allow an offense. Yes, sir. You got to make sure that you don't allow yourself to take the bait of offense. Yes, because Satan is always trying to bait you so that you can get into offense and unforgiveness and that kind of thing and stuff. And that's where he can stop you. He can stop you every time with an offense. Because what offense does, it leaves a door open. All right? Just like in your house, if there was a door in your house that was open and you didn't know it was open, but there was somebody who, an enemy that come in every time you come in and you find something stolen. You come in there, you know, where's the TV? You know, and we don't know what happened to it. The next time you come in, you know, you look, where's the lamp? You come in again. But the thing about it is, it's because there's a door open, and if the door is not closed, the thief has access to get in anytime he gets ready. So you have to make sure the door closed. So whenever Satan will always set things up in a certain way, and if you're not careful, you'll get into unforgiveness, you'll get into offense and that sort of thing and stuff, and it'll be a door open to your life, and you'll wonder why things are being stolen from you. Yes, sir. You can never let people get in your heart. Never, ever, never. So the enemy's accusations can harm the way we feel about ourselves. The enemy will tell us we don't have what it takes to get the job done. We don't have the personality. The style are the church is too small and we'll never make it. The call is bigger than us and thus we should not embrace it or we will be put to shame. Now, Moses was attacked by the spirit of intimidation. Who am I? He said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh according to Exodus 3 and 11? Our completeness is in being connected to him. I am who I am. It's a reply to the question of who I am. Now, the Apostle Paul said, I am who I am because of the grace of God. So we have to know well. Colossians 3 says, for you who have died and your life is hidden in Christ and God, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we who are hidden in him will also be revealed. Now, second intimidation, the enemy will attack your motives. Attack your motives. Are they going to restore it for themselves? So he'll attack your motives. That's just like, listen to me. That's just like times you praying and you're asking God to bless you. The enemy tell you, the only reason you're asking God for that is because you're all about yourself. And see, now he's attacking your motives. No, I want to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. I want the blessing of God to be on my life so that I can be a blessing. See, the more I have, the more I can be a blessing. So when the enemy tried to make accusations and he tried to question your motives, you got to be able to stand on the word. So they accuse us of wanting to be somebody, to be doing it for the money or for a hidden agenda. Hallelujah. The attack causes us to doubt our own integrity and forces us to question our motives. The devil will try to confuse us between pride and boldness. Intimidation, number three, he will attack our qualification. He said, can they offer sacrifices? Now he's trying to say they're not qualified. They don't have the priestly qualifications to offer sacrifices. They don't have the authority, the title, the paper qualifications to function in what they're doing. Intimidation will attack the call of God on our lives. That's Satan to make you think that you're not even called. There was a time in my own life, I got called to preach. I was, you know, was young. I was younger. And I was experiencing some things and stuff, and my mind was being bombarded. And I got to the place to where I said, man, I think I'm going to move to California, because people in California don't know I've been called. So if I move to California, I can get away from this calling. But I found out God wouldn't even let me get a ticket, because I was to stay where I was. But don't ever let the enemy question your calling. It's been a blessed year teaching you all. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. All right. See y'all graduation night.